Okay, so the topic this afternoon, as Hashem, we're spending your afternoon thinking about, talking about, listening to ways to strengthen your emuna, the mechazik your emuna, etc. There's a famous machlokes between the Bahag and the Rambam if there's a mitzvah to have a emuna. The Rambam lists the mitzvah of having a emuna. This is the first of the 613 mitzvahs. The Sefer Mitzvahs, the first mitzvah is the mitzvah of believing in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he's the source of everything. That's the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The Rambam writes this because he's coming to disagree with the Bahag. The Bahag was one of the Ga'onim. And the Bahag says does not list in his list of the 613 mitzvahs, which the Bahag is the first Sefer, which goes through a list of the 613 mitzvahs. It's well before the Rambam. It's a good 200 years plus before the Rambam. The Bahag does not mention in his Sefer anywhere the mitzvah of Emunah. So the Ramban says, how do you understand the Bahag? The Rambam seems to be very correct. Obviously, there's a mitzvah to have Emunah, one of the entire mitzvahs. It's the foundation of the whole Torah. So the Ramban explains that the Bahag holds that you cannot command a person to have Emunah. Either you have it, or you don't. I can't assume, I'm coming to command you to listen to me. If you know that I exist, and so then I can command you. If you don't know that I exist, how am I supposed to command you? So how can a Kadosh Baruch Hu command us to have the mitzvah, have a emuna, if we don't know that he exists to tell us we have a emuna? So the first is you have to have that emuna, but that cannot be part of one of the entire mitzvahs. That has to be a foundation prior to the 613 mitzvahs. That's how the Bahag understands it. So it's a good point. So how do you understand according to the Rambam? So one of the ways to understand according to the Rambam is the mitzvah of emuna is a person should try to find ways to give himself emuna, try and find ways to be mechazik as emuna. That more we think about it, the more we work on it, the more we have emuna, that is the mitzvah of emuna according to the Rambam. So anything a person does which enhances his understanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is the key of the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is the foundation of the whole Torah. Point number one. Point number two, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Sefer Chavos HaLevavos. Chavos HaLevavos was the first Musar Sefer written. The Chavos HaLevavos was actually written before Rashi. The Sefer is earlier than Rashi. And he devotes the whole first section to his Sefer to the concept of Emunah, proving that Hashem exists, etc. The second section of his Sefer talks about what he calls Bechina. Bechina is to be mafkan a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, in the science, which is the understanding of science, etc., which we have. So how is that different than the first step? The first step is to have Emunah, the second step is to be mafkan a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So a lot of times when we think about the idea of studying science and studying these things, and we look at it, the goal over here is to get a emunah. That's not really the goal to get a emunah. We have a emunah. We believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first shahr of the Sefer. The second shahr of the Sefer is to enhance, to understand, to appreciate. What does it mean that the love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he has for us? There's a famous story which took place here. I don't know how many of you are musicians. Joshua Bell rings a bell? No? Okay. Joshua Bell is probably right now, at this point in time, the world's most famous violinist. Joshua Bell was here in Washington, D.C., for the Performing Arts, the Center of Performing Arts, to receive an award for his contribution to violin music in the world. One of the editors at the Washington Post decided he wants to do an interesting social experiment. He wants to see, will people be able to appreciate the beauty of his music, not in the setting of a symphony. So they asked him, would he be willing to go to a Monday morning during rush hour, put on a national baseball cap and a t-shirt, stand the Lampa Plaza, with his $3 million Stradivarius and play violin music with a video camera trained upon him to see how many people will stop during rush hour to listen to this gorgeous music that he played. Okay, that was a social experiment that they asked him, would he agree to do, and he said yes. This is in 2008. 2008, so here he is. He puts on this t-shirt, baseball cap, takes his violin case, puts $10 in the case, puts it down, subway station, downtown, metro station, Lafayette Plaza. And he plays the most difficult piece of violin music which exists, a 45-minute piece straight without interruption of the most difficult violin music which exists on a $3 million Stradivarius. This is the top violinist in the world on the most expensive violin, most hard, beautiful piece of violin music that there is. And they have this video camera watching how many people are going to stop to listen to him. They took bets beforehand, if you want to call it that. They went to the greatest conductors. They said, we're doing this experiment. Who are you getting to play? Joshua Bell. 200 people will stop. 300 people will stop. In the span of the 45 minutes that they videoed, they counted that 1,007 people were visible walking by in the video camera. Before I tell you the rest of the story, take a guess how many people stopped to listen. What?
Five.
All right. They had seven people stop to listen. The one who stayed the longest was a young child, which the mother was busy trying to pull him away. They then wrote this up in the Washington Post afterwards. The name of the article was Pearls Before Breakfast. And what was the point? The most gorgeous piece of music, but if it's not in the right setting, you just don't notice it. So I was reading this article, and I think to myself, you know, I walk to yeshiva every morning, or not every morning, but many mornings, and I happen to walk very early. Most mornings I walk very early, it's nice and quiet. And I can stop and contemplate the world and enjoy the pearls of the Ria, which are more gorgeous than the violin music, the stars, the birds. Summertime I go. When I go in the morning, sometimes it's still dark out. It's quiet, very, very little noise to bother. You can hear the birds. And you can appreciate the beauty of the world, these beautiful birds that Russia put in the world to make it nice for us. But do we ever stop and listen to them? That's Shara Bechina. So the point is not necessarily to prove to you, Amuna, it's to appreciate what you have, the beautiful world that Russia made for you. So the Medrash says, well, with this Medrash, the Medrash says that Russia made 3,000 different types of grass in the world. The Medrash says that Russia could have made one type of grass. When the Rosham created grass, he wanted to make grass in such a way that we could enjoy different types of grass. He made 3,000 types of grass. He didn't have to. But the fact that he did is because he wants to show how much he loves and he cares and he's interested in us and he knows we appreciate a beautiful world. Imagine that everything was just all the same color. It didn't have to be different colors. I once, many, many years ago, took this public speaking course. So one of the things they gave a challenge for was speaking by a banquet where there's waiters moving around and there's people talking in the back, etc. I'm like, what do you do? You know? So anyway, okay, there we have. The Brashim made a beautiful world for us to partake of. When a person hears the science and hears it, he realizes how complex and beautiful the world of Russia made for us. Above and beyond creating a proof to Amuno, even I know that Russia exists, but I appreciate that much more the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how much he cares about us, and the beauty that he puts, the symmetry that he puts, the understanding, the complexity that he put into the world. It gives me a greater understanding. That's the Shar Bechina. So our real goal, many times, is not Amuno, but Bechina. To be mavkin mitoch habriya, to understand the Brashim's interest and care and concern and love for all of us, which he expresses through the beautiful things that he creates. Understanding the rotation of the earth, understanding the relationship between the stars, how complex it is and how perfect it has to be, and how if it would be off just a little bit, it wouldn't work. And how that would impact. And they've done suggestions of what would be if the earth's orbit is off by X amount of percentage. How long could life would life be able to maintain itself, etc. that shows you that this beauty to the Bria. It doesn't have to prove anything. We know the Bresham exists. It shows the beauty the Bresham put in the Bria. The Bresham I have a Hatzlocha the afternoon. You should walk away B'ez Hashem with a greater understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us, with the Bria, greater understanding of his presence in the Bria. And B'ez Hashem, you should take that and you should then apply it to your tefillah. A private tefillah, not necessarily the Shemoneh Esrei. Bershom, he's cared, he's concerned, he loves you, he knows about you, he's interested in you, he's taking care of you. So talk to him. Talk to him. In a private, you know, private conversation, English, enhancing you, that you're a mitzvah that you do, that you're doing it with appreciation, that you're, it's a relationship between you and your Creator. The emunah that we have, that the Bershom will take care of Klal Yisrael, Mashiach's going to come, that the Bresham will correct all of the problems which exist in the Bria, everything which we need. That's your goal for today, Bezajem. Hatzlocha.